back to the Superhero Homies Podcast, the Shorties Edition. My name is Quentin, and as always, I am here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the show. Hopefully by now you've caught up on episode 5. As you know, we're covering WandaVision, the one and only.
Yeah, so we are going to continue our weekly review of WandaVision. As you said, Kevin, this has been episode 5.
Yep, over halfway through the season now.
It is titled on a very special episode. Mm-hmm. And boy, howdy, was it. This was a very special episode. And what I really like about shows like this, most what I call Lindelofian shows, or most shows that present like a bigger mystery, this is always good when they give you answers that only give you more questions. And for me, that's what this episode did. It provided me with some answers and with some, you know, really cool material, but it also gave me more questions in doing so. I always thought that that's a really good touch, something that you kind of want to have, because you never want to leave like a show with a high mystery being like, oh yeah, so I get everything now. And because then it's like, well, there's no intrigue.
But there's no setup for season 2.
Yeah, and I got to say, I doubt that this show gets to season 2, but for the remainder of this season, though, I'm still hooked.
Who knows?
Yeah. it'd be interesting to see, like, what is season 2 to be about. We're going to get into this one. So what you think about this episode as a whole, Kevin?
It definitely kept the intrigue that they were going for, and I definitely appreciate that. Like you said, that they're definitely setting up well in their plot line for the mystery and a lot of, like, the, you know, the continuous cadence of just leading up to the next, what's happening, what is this, why is this, and things like that, and I appreciate that. Overall, I'm still not enjoying the sitcom-y vibe of the show. I could completely leave that, you know? The laugh tracks, the extra thick sitcom plot line and everything like that, that's adorable, that's cool, but really it's the setup that the show is going for that is continuously pulling me in week by week, and that's the thing I'm really biting at, because it is now very evident that Marvel is, you know, they were dealt a very good hand in Vegas, and now they're not afraid to show some chips on the table. They're not afraid to up the ante. I'll call and raise you. And that's exactly what we're getting here. In other words, in translating what the hell I'm saying, my metaphor here, they're changing up the MCU with this. And they're willingly do so via television, via freaking, you know, streaming TV show. And I think that's ballsy, and I think that's awesome, because it's never been done before, where you're purposely using a TV series, you know, a one-and-done season mayhaps, who fucking knows, to alter something that you have already had in the works being built up for 12 years. And now, you're doing something very clever, and that's super interesting to me, you know? That's more interesting than the actual plot line of the show to me, you know? Like, I like that idea and what it means for the overarching next phase of the MCU almost more than the actual WandaVision show.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And, I've always had mixed feelings about when Marvel in particular does that. I always hope that they can find like the perfect balance between, because you want whatever your current movie or project is to be interesting, but of course you want people to look forward to what's to come.
Right.
And yeah, I'm not going to lie, in times past, Marvel has completely done one and not the other.
Oh yeah. I mean, great example, freaking Civil War, you know?
There was a lot of lead up to Civil War. There was a lot of spectacle to Civil War.
There was a lot of spectacle, and then there was set up for Black Panther and Spider-Man, and that's about it, you know? An enjoyable movie, don't get me wrong. But
I think for me, like, one that's really egregious and hits the mark is Captain Marvel. Even if the movie had been something that I enjoyed, it was still, you leave that theater thinking, this wasn't needed to be here at this particular time slot. Didn't need to be between.
She's about to be replaced.
We can only hope.
Yeah,
I mean, they do refer to Monica as captain a few times throughout the episode, which is really tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm not holding on to strong cards over here, but at least got a pair, brother.
Hey, listen.
I'm willing to go in on a pair.
You know, I'm putting money on you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, not a lot of money, because I don't have a lot, and you know.
Yeah. Oh, no worries, me neither. I'm not going in much more than you.
Oh man, no, I gotta say I've been thoroughly enjoying this season. I really like that this is something that's so vastly different. It really shows that Marvel is really flexing, giving us something versus the norm that we've been getting.
Yeah.
For the past 12 or so years, really breaking out and doing other things.
It's very refreshing. It is a whole new type of breath away from your typical superhero vibe or superhero movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that itself is valuable.
Yeah, agreed. So this episode starts off as an 80s sitcom style. You can tell by the camera work, by the decor.
Did we ever decide which intro they were kind of vibing with here?
No, I'm not too certain.
Know. Yeah.
Which is interesting because like the 80s sitcom, like that's more of my jam. Like the 80s and 90s sitcoms is really where, you know, I watched the bulk of my sitcoms. I didn't watch a lot of the stuff in the 70s or the 60s or I guess 50s even. I don't know.
Sure.
I never really watched.
I mean, me neither. So yeah. Sure.
I never really watched a lot of those that, you know, that prior to my existence, but I really enjoyed the sitcoms in the 80s and in the 90s. So this one right here really kind of hit closer to home with a lot of the stuff they were doing here. And it starts off with the crying twins, little Billy and Tommy. They are crying infants. And Wanda and Vision can't seem to get them to sleep. And, of course, we do the whole routine when, you know, Wanda tries to magic them to sleep. It's not working. It plays like a comedy sketch, like, you know, most of it does here. But I think there's definitely something more to it.
Oh, yeah, no. It was very easy to read into that her magic does not affect them the same either. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And again, it kind of makes me real quick reflect on this because there's going to be so many points in this episode where it does. So I'll go ahead and just like jam it in here right now. It seems like this, which kind of hit on the same topic we talked, you know, we discussed heavily last episode, which is the core audience of this show, you know, and how scenes like that are going to be super important for a majority of the audience who doesn't know better, who doesn't know Wanda's story, who doesn't know the core concept of what her capabilities are and what she's to become and all that stuff. In other words, for the organic, fresh eyes that have never relayed on this before, scenes like this is going to be super important, you know? Mm. Even though they're a little nod and tug in cheek, like, oh, look at the comedy sketch. They're having a laugh track. Oh, another laugh track. We all know this is a clue, you know? And you and I know what this means. A lot of the comic fans out there listening now know what this means.
I gotta be honest, yeah. I'm not entirely certain what it means.
Well, the rest of the episode plays into it really well. And, well, I'm sorry I spoke for you, brother.
Yeah. Because, I mean, her magic also didn't work on the fucking stork. And I don't know what that means either.
I don't know what the fuck that means, fucking stork. But at the same time, there's enough context clues that I'm very confident I know what it means.
Hell yeah. But before too long, the good neighbor Agnes comes over to visit. Good old Agnes. Making her presence felt again. And she comes in with her whole jazzercise, you know, skit. And it's at this point where Vision, he kind of interrupts her from picking up the twins because he's stating all these things. Have you washed your hands? Have you done this, that, and the third?
I really liked Vision this episode. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's at this point where Agnes, she pauses and she, by all means, kind of breaks the fourth wall. She says to Wanda, you know, you want me to do it again? You want me to, you just want to run it from the top? And there's this awkward kind of tension that's built up here.
Now, this I'm going to read into. I'm wondering if she's potentially immune to Wanda's power to some degree, or if she's at least more acutely aware of Wanda's capability, you know? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know enough about this version of Agnes. I know the awesome clues that you've been talking about informing the rest of the audience on. What's the caricature name?
Agatha Harkness.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm wondering what that means. Maybe that is, you know. Never mind. There's just too much to talk about in this little segment. You know, it's too broad a spectrum. I was about to go off on some long ass conspiracy theory, like maybe it was this Agatha, you know, witch babe who was presiding in Westview prior. Well, never mind. That doesn't make sense. So I was about to go off on some other shit, but not worth it. It's just too far fetched. But either way, being one of magic herself, it seems that she has at least, you know, a high enough midichlorian count in order to be able to sense, oh, you want me to take it from the top? Is that okay? Can we do this, you know? Do we have to magic this or something?
You know, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I'll go ahead and say this.
Please,
I do think that later on, at probably about the midway point of the episode, when Norm has his breakdown, I think that he wasn't referring to Wanda. I think he was referring to Agatha.
I was thinking that too, actually. Yeah, yeah. Because right now, well, I hate to drop this on you, brother, because I know how you feel about this term, but that would be the subverted expectation.
Yeah, and that is true. I have unfortunately grown to hate that term because nine times out of ten, it means
I know, buddy,
shitty writing for shock and awe.
Or in this case, writing which makes the previous antagonistic role turn around and no longer be the villain, and by the end of the program, we can all grow to like her again. Oh, I'm sorry, like them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That too.
We'll see. We'll see.
But no, in this scene, Agatha, she does straight up just seem a little immune, and this really isn't the first time. I mean, I think it was at the end of episode 3 when Vision was talking to his neighbor Herb and Agatha, and Agatha stopped Herb from dropping some kind of big bomb, saying that we're all, and we never got to hear what the last word was going to be. Yeah. Maybe prisoners, who knows?
Plus, we can't forget how Agatha seems to always know what's needed and when it's needed.
Yeah.
And then she's the one who has the power to interrupt and not choose when to insert herself into the story. Or no, to not, excuse me, be chosen when to insert herself in the story. But she can demand, hey, boom, this is my entrance. I can Kramer right up in here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is what it seems like. Especially as we get more episodes with Agnes in them. It seems like she just has more control over her own free will.
Yeah.
But no, so that was just definitely a really interesting scene because the laugh track stopped. Yeah.
She's the only one in Westview willingly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah, possibly. So there's this thing that happens here, and the show does a really subtle and good job of drawing attention towards it. When, you know, Agatha says, take it from the top, you know, this, that, and the third. And because the laugh track stops and the camera work changes. And
they make it awkward and tense.
Yeah, yeah, they do. For, like, all three parties involved. And then afterwards, Vision talks with Wanda. He's like, hey, so what was that all about? And, of course, Wanda ignores it. Trying to keep Vision underneath the spell bound, for lack of a better term, trying to keep Vision from having this vision. And
I don't feel good about that. Let's start from the top.
Neither does Vision.
Hey, you want to take from the top? You want to, you know, try that again?
I'm good, man.
See, that's what Wanda should have said. Hell nah, let's go.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The next thing we get here is they turn around and look for the twins, and then they realize the twins aren't in their cribs. Billy and Tommy have aged up. They're now approximately age 5.
Mm.
And then we're gifted with a phenomenal intro. I've loved all the intros for these sitcoms. I thought they've all been really well done so far.
But they have. Yeah. This paying right here, homage to others.
Yeah. Yeah, like... really kind of like paying homage to, like you said, those previous shows that they took inspiration from and with their own little spin on it. They've been really fun.
With this one, I have no idea. What were your speculations? Which ones again? Maybe Full House or?
I was saying like maybe Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Or Growing Pains, I guess. Yeah, it's hard for me to put my finger on this one, really. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe Growing Pains, since daggum kids kept growing.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, during this introduction, they showed, of course, Scarlet Witch first, and they showed her growing up, which, again, makes me think maybe Growing Pains, because they showed, like, a baby picture of Little Elizabeth, then a teenage version, and then, you know, you see adult version of her. Mm-hmm. And then I you know, jokingly said to myself, we're not going to get that for Vision. And then
we get
fucking baby Vision.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is insane. This is great. I love it. But I thought that was pretty awesome. We got an awesome introduction for this faux episode. The next thing we do is that we go back to the real reality. And so it seems like the remainder of the show will be kind of split up between like the real reality with Sword and then Wanda's fake reality. And the first thing we get here is Monica waking up from her very traumatic experience, being expelled from a town in such a gratuitous manner. And she does get her scans. They don't really pay them that much attention, but her scans come back strange. It's just like a light that's on them. There's really nothing there for us to see. And they really don't focus on it that much either. I think it was either the last episode or episode 3 where I asked the question, how do you think she gets her powers? Would she even get them in this show? And I don't know. I don't know if maybe she has a catalyst for her powers already or what the case may be, but something has definitely changed within Monica. But moving on, next thing we get here is Terry Hayward. He is holding a meeting, and essentially he's pointing out Wanda as a terrorist. Wanda is this, she's that, she's a threat, she needs to be dealt with. And he's a dick. Terry Hayward is being a dick.
And damn it. You know what I just realized?
What's that?
You're not going to let Wanda be the antagonist now. No, she's not the villain of the show anymore. Fuck.
Yeah. Is it him?
I mean, it's not that it's directly him. I doubt that. He's too easy. He's too convenient. Like, they're making him the dick on purpose. They're yellow jacketing him. But they're not going to let him be right either. Because he has to be the villain. He has to be, yo, you're wrong. You're the bad guy. So, because he's calling out Wanda, saying that she's the villain, the writing and the tone of the story is going to shift later on off of Wanda and make a third party the villain. Maybe Agnes here. That's kind of the easy gamble, you know, at this point. We'll see. I don't know. But now, in prior episodes, we were talking about, oh, it'd be cool if they made Wanda the villain, have the balls to do that. But unfortunately, I don't think that's happening.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It is certainly possible.
It might be one of those things where it's like, in retrospect, if you weren't there, if you don't know the context, like reading the newspaper, all of a sudden, oh, Wanda Maximoff found to do these awesome evil things. Oh, shit, she's being bad. But then, like, maybe Darcy and Sir Duchelot FBI agent and whatever other people there who actually know the context, who were there, they might be the ones who are like, nah, Wanda wasn't the real villain, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of those things. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is possible. This guy gave off, you know, antagonistic vibes from the first time we saw him.
He did.
Classic
villainy shit.
Yeah. I mean, his is more tropey, which I guess is why I'm leaning away from him being like...
Oh, no. I don't think he's going to be the mainstay antagonist either. I think, again, he's too convenient. He's, like you said, too tropey. You know, it's... Nah, he's going to be the throwaway. I don't think we're going to see him at the end of the season.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, again, I haven't looked it up, so I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, I don't think he's based off of any canonical characters. So
that's only more convenient.
So I don't know then if they really need to bring in Agent Brand. Like that's the only person who I'm familiar with who runs Sword. But Because I was thinking, like, man, they get rid of him. Who are they going to put in charge? Monica? But she has to go be a superhero. You can't really, you know, do that and lead a, you know, giant organization on the scale of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, like that. Nope. So, I don't know.
And it's like, unless Tony Stark, but, you know, I mean, spoiler alert, he's dead.
What did he lead? I mean, well, I guess for a while he led, in the comics, he led S.H.I.E.L.D. Right into the ground. So, furthering my point.
Right into the ground.
Yeah, anyway, but, you know, man, Terry, fucking Terry. I don't know what to make of Terry or his folds.
Terry loves yogurt. Come on. We all know the reference.
Well, you skipped right over my Terry fold joke, so I'm moving on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even hear that. You know, touch the Terry fold. Come on. There we go.
Okay. Anyways.
Too many pop culture references. Yep. Oh, man. Someone might have to rewind this to listen to all those.
During this little meeting that Terry holds, he shows footage, sword footage, from approximately 9 days ago when Wanda stole Vision's body from a sword base. Now, this is very interesting here because, again, I'm sure that Marvel has their timeline correct. I don't think they'll fuck it up twice. But I am curious for, like, the events of things. So we know that in last episode, we saw Monica and several other people come back, you know, from the second snapping when the Hulk brought everybody back.
Yep.
So that means that that obviously happened during the big battle, you know, of Thanos' army versus the Avengers.
Okay.
Now, are we to believe that
Vision technically died pre-snapping?
Yeah. My whole thing though is that, like, how long after that does this take place?
The show?
Mm-hmm.
3 or 5 years?
It should be neither.
Neither?
Yeah.
Well, no, but this is like, well, it would be more than 5 years at least because the
no, because everybody's barred back from the snapping. The snapping takes place.
Well, how long were people gone for the snapping?
5 years.
Exactly. So, yeah. Why are we on different planes?
Yeah, why are we on different planes?
Yeah.
So this show wouldn't take place 5 years in the future. I'm saying that, like, this show takes place, had to take place after Endgame. But
exactly.
How long after Endgame does it take place?
Okay. I think that's where we got lost. Because I was just like, I only heard the question. And I was like, well, yeah, it's got to be more. Yeah, but so.
Because
that would
saying,
be the question, how long after Tony Stark's funeral? Because Wanda was present at the funeral at the end of the movie. Spoiler, by the way, if you haven't seen Endgame, which I'd be surprised if you haven't.
Right.
Just in case. Wanda was present at the funeral. Am I wrong?
You're right.
I thought so. So, because she was present there, it had to have been after said funeral. That would be the question then. How long after those events? Like, what? Like, did she wake up the next day?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I don't know. Like,
because when Monica comes back, I mean, we're not giving any timeline, but we're under the assumption that she kind of goes straight back to work.
Right. Well, it was like months later, but yes, exactly.
I mean, we can assume.
Yeah. No, I mean, the show gave us a segue 3 months later or something like that. Yeah.
Did it say 3 months later?
I thought so.
Or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, we'd have to go back and find it, but yeah, it was like, she came back, she's in the hospital, pure chaos, everybody's wait, what the fuck, you know, crazy things happening, Monica gets all caught up that she just got undusted, good job, and then we transition. I don't remember, my brain is telling me for some reason 3 months, but I don't know, we'll see. Again, that'd be one of those easy things to go back and find, though.
Right.
Yeah. Which episode was that? That would have been the last
one. Yeah, that's episode four. Yeah.
Okay. Well, shoot. I'll just look it up real quick. Because that is kind of important.
Yeah. Because, like, to my knowledge, I don't think they showed any kind of time jump. They just kind of left it ambiguous, which is smart because that way there can't be any follies with your timeline. But at the same time, it just has me curious.
Right. But at that point, like, we all... If it was 3 months later, then that's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For both the Avengers and our girl, Monica.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how long after the events of Endgame does this show really take place?
Actually, maybe that would be the convenient way. Nope, that's lame. That didn't give me nothing. Screw you.
Also, in the meantime, I want to give a shout out to the homie Peter. Peter, if you're listening, you sent us an email saying that they also didn't mention Dottie's real name in the last episode, which is also true. They did not mention Dottie.
True.
On the board in the last episode. I don't know if maybe they did it just off screen, or maybe there's something more to Dottie that we need to know. Hard to tell, but that is a good point. Dottie, the witchy bitchy family committee woman from episode 2. Yeah, her information was not mentioned last episode. So, good call, Peter.
Ah, daggum. Okay, first thing I found here doesn't give me a timeline. They just kind of, like, talk about it. What I really need is just, like, a basic wiki page. But let's move on.
Yeah.
And then I'll revisit this if I find it. Yeah.
All right, so the next scene we get here is the pet dog scene. So the two boys have found a dog, and they are hiding it in the sink. Wanda comes in, and she finds the dog, and... boys asked to keep the dog. They're going to name it Sparky. And it's right at this point where Vision comes in and, you know, sees that they have this dog and...
Pardon.
Yes.
3 weeks later.
3 weeks.
It was an entity of three, but it was only weeks. Gotcha. So there it is right there. Boom. Cool. All right.
So she comes back 3 weeks later.
Yeah. So not even a month.
Yeah, not even a month. So Wanda, within 3 weeks after Endgame... has done all this.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that's fast work.
Which makes sense, because they still would have, like, had to have recently abducted and then began experimenting upon the corpse of Vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they would be so close neck and neck, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Agnes comes over again, and she comes over with a little doggy house, because apparently through the window she saw that they had a dog, and of course she has a dog house already ready and built together, and
of course she's so generous.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Just like, hey, come, hey, here's this awesome thing you conveniently need right now.
Yes. Which Vision finally catches on to, like, man, she's always on cue. Like, she always has
nice.
Yep. And, you know, they actually can keep the dog, the twins. And at this point, Wanda and Vision, that this is where their little tiff begins, really. It starts in the previous scene, really, when Wanda ignores Vision's question about Agnes and her weird behavior. But now that things are being so convenient, it's kind of growing. And they decide no for the time being, but we know that's not really the case. Because they said, you know, maybe you'd be responsible by the time you boys are 10. The twins look at each other, and they age up to age 10.
Bullshit. Cool, and definitely, like, makes sense for the plot, but it's like, no, you calm the hell down, okay?
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think most parents would say, I don't want that to happen, but I think most parents definitely want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, if I can have my kids grown and out of the house within a week span, that would be excellent.
Oh, and the conveniences of the in-between times, mm-hmm. taken care of for them, which means all the financial and emotional responsibilities just done so. Mm-hmm. So imagine your kid immediately, like, becomes post-college age. They have a college education or somehow, you know, some magical how. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. You parented well, and you kick them out the house, and you're probably still 20-something yourself.
Right. So people see, like, your grandkids thinking that it's your baby. Like, no, my kid's grown. This is my grandbaby.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Your kids started young.
Yep. So we go back to CompuSystem. I think that's the name of the vague company that Vision works for. And it's here now, because we're in the 80s, that we have a very crude version of the internet. Yeah. Because Vision's the man, and of course he can create that kind of shit. And he does so, and as he opens up the email on the computer, there's an email from S.W.O.R.D., a very kind of ambiguous email from S.W.O.R.D., and which the entire office reads in a monotone voice, mm-hmm. very creepily. I forget exactly what the contents of the email were.
I was about to challenge myself to remember, and I also don't. So, yeah.
I believe it was something along the lines of...
Oh, the Maximoff anomaly. That phrase was introduced in the email.
It was in the email?
Okay. It was in the email, yep. Gotcha. Yep. The Maximoff anomaly.
Yeah. So that was a very weird email from S.W.O.R.D., which really kind of shocks Vision. And so he turns the computer off, and then Norm says something really strange, you know, in this kind of, what's the name of that weird fucking movie, Stepford Wives kind of tone, where he says something along the lines of, oh, come on, Vision, none of this is real. You know, with this smile on his face, you know, still playing the sitcom act, and it's very bizarre, very shocking that he would even say that.
It's very, very discomforting, but also eerie and mysterious how this show makes the bizarre moments the only real ones. Mm. It's very foreign, very well done. I would have accepted this show if it had released around Halloween. Mm. And this would be, yep, in my mind, this is also a Halloween show. It's just creepy as fuck. And I'm pretty sure in previews we saw that there's a Halloween episode. What are we doing? We're way too early on this. Or late.
Or late.
Or late. We'll just say late.
Yeah. Vision, at this point, he places his hands on Norm's head and then turns on, like, his actual consciousness.
He
visions him, and Norm begins to freak the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. He's actually a real person.
Yeah,
not a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. He is a real person, as are all of these people, more or less, real people. And he begins to freak out, and he worries about his sister and his dad, and he has to make a phone call, and where's his phone? And he keeps saying that, you know, she did this to me. You know, don't let her do this to me again, blah, blah, blah.
She's in my head. It was annoying how fucking ambiguous it was. It's like, you couldn't give me something.
I bet it's also like he may legitimately not know the name.
I guess. But how convenient he doesn't know the name. You know? I get it. It's fucking storytelling. But at the same time, it's like, come on. I'm still hungry. Give me something. Just give me something. Don't do this shit like everything else does. Oh, you did it anyways. All right, let's move on.
Yep. But Vision turns Norm, sitcom Norm, back on.
Yeah.
And Norm cracks an internet joke about what I put the stamp on the email. And, you know,
shut the fuck up.
And he goes back to being Norm. Normal Norm. The next thing we get here is the twins are asking about their dad, like where's dad at, and Wanda says, oh, you know, he's at work, and they say, but it's Saturday, and Wanda goes, no, it's Monday, and the twins say, well, this morning it was Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and
I'm gonna call into work with that one. Right. This morning it was Saturday. I didn't go in. It's Saturday. What do you mean it's Monday?
Man, that's crazy, man. Like, yeah, shit. Because where I'm at is Monday. It's Saturday. Shit.
Yeah. They call you out. Like, no, you just said it's Monday. Get it. How dare you?
But Wanda tries to make some kind of excuse about, oh, you know, the office called him in, so he had to go into work. And then the twins say, oh, he doesn't want to see us, or he doesn't want to be around us. And you know, she has the whole moment with the kids saying that, no, family is everything. He loves you. You guys will always have each other. And that's when the boys ask about their uncle. They ask about Wanda's brother. Mm. And she replies, yes, I have a brother. He's very far away. Which is a very kind way of saying, yeah, he's dead.
He died on a floating comet.
badass, if you put it that way.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And it took an Ultron to kill him.
That's true. Yeah. Bullets, actually.
Yeah, I was about to call myself out on that one. It's like, no, technically he got shot.
Yeah.
By something else that was also fast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah.
He did not see that coming.
Get the fuck out of here. I am so disappointed in you. You know what? You don't even get to go to bed. Just leave.
Shit. Damn. I've reached a new tier.
A new tier. It's evolved. All right.
Monica and Agent Jimmy Woo and Darcy, they decide.
I always forget his name. I always call him FBI douchebag.
He's not even a douchebag.
He's not even that bad a character. He's a cool dude. A funny guy. It's just, I forget his name. He's just FBI douchebag.
I wonder what people call us when they came in. You guys know, those two fuckwads.
I know,
you
know, right? Yeah. They probably talk about, like, oh, you know, the guys who talk about comics. Well, one of them talks about comics. The other one's just a dumbass. Yeah, you know, yeah.
How dare they call me a dumbass. That's, they don't know me.
Brother, that's what I appreciate about you. Cheers. To being dumbasses.
So, the next thing we get here is... yeah, they're the team trio is what I call them. Monica, Jimmy Woo, and Darcy. They send in an 80s drone, a drone that was made from the time period that WandaVision currently takes place in. Therefore, it doesn't get so displaced when it goes through the field.
They had to call the CIA for that one.
Yeah. So they fly this drone in, which I got to say, that drone looked really good for the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, damn. Yeah. Yeah, I need to turn off like my real brain and think about what the hell Sword and Shield would have, and not what actual agencies would have. Because I'm like, man, like I don't think, man, if we have drones like that today, that's really cool.
Yeah,
because that was a really advanced drone. But anyway, they fly the drone through, and it has the camera on it and all that. And Monica is attempting to communicate with Wanda. Of course, Wanda sees this, and she's not very friendly towards it, at least not according to her looks. And almost immediately, fucking Terry Hayward, I've been calling him Terry. I think his name is Terry. It may be Tyler. It's Tyler Hayward.
We could call him Asshole. Tyler Asshole.
Yeah, well, Asshole Tyler Hayward. He immediately gives the signal to fire upon Wanda. There's a fucking missile attached to that drone.
And they did not inform Monica that there was a weapon on this? Because she was like, what are you talking about? This is an unarmed drone. Wait, what?
Yeah, Tyler's like, bitch, you thought, fire.
Tyler said, bitch, don't kill my vibe.
And then, of course, the feed goes blank. And then immediately they say, "Oh shit! There's some shit going outside the field here."
So let's break that down real quick. Tyler Asshole is so dedicated to, you know, eradicating the threat. Let's just use the verbiage that I would imagine he uses.
Yeah.
Like, let's eliminate the problem. Let's eradicate the threat. In translation, he's very willing and very quick on the trigger finger to gun down an Avenger.
Yeah.
So let's take a second and like drop the show on the table and step outside of its small atmosphere, okay, and bring in the rest of the MCU world.
Yeah.
There have to be others who would not be fucking okay with that. Like, how dare you attempt to shoot a missile at an Avenger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's not that many left.
Yeah, I look at it this way. I would look at it like if I were in Tyler's position here, if I somehow find myself leading Sword, what would I do? And I would honestly try to contact other members of the Avengers.
Thank you, right?
Yeah, I try to find, you know, my own practical means in case for some reason I can't get anyone. But yeah, I would reach out to Stephen Strange, reach out to Bruce Banner, you know.
Well, we can't reach out to Stephen Strange yet. There's a whole movie about that. Call Charles Xavier. He's not too far away. How far is Westview from the X-Mansion? Come on.
New Jersey from upstate New York.
Not that far. You could make it on a tank of gas.
Shit. It's a big ass tank. So I thought about that too. Like, man, like what do you do in this situation? Because it's also like, are you fully aware of the capabilities of Wanda? Because I also have to assume that maybe you're not, if you think that this would work.
I don't think he is, but I also think that no one is at this point.
To be fair.
Because everyone, even on this episode, the verbiage was literally dropped. Hey, she was not this powerful before.
Which is true.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, hell, I think, I was telling you the other day, I was talking to the homie Tame, and like, he kind of had a gripe about how, you know, Wanda didn't show this kind of power when she fought Thanos. And, you know, this can't be much longer after she fought Thanos, where's that power then? But they do mention it in the show.
Yeah.
Now, mentioning something isn't the same thing as, you know, providing an answer to it, but it is a start. And I do have faith that the show is going to give us reasoning behind it.
They also even bring up, in so many words, how Wanda was the only one who, or one of the few, because we all know another guy who did, but one of the few who stood up to Thanos one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then asshole McGee over there talking about Captain Marvel like a savior, like get the fuck out of here, little.
I also challenge both of those statements.
That's fair,
because how the fuck do y'all know? You weren't there.
That is a fucking good point. Oh my gosh!
Like, who told you that? There were no cameras there.
I'm genuinely fucking angry now. Like, oh. Who gave him an account? Did Tony Stark send him a really convenient fucking recording?
I mean, there were no S.H.I.E.L.D. agents on that field, right? There were no S.W.O.R.D. agents, I can assume.
Yeah, whoa, guys. I That's upsetting. I'm genuinely upset. Like, okay, I'm glad you had this scene for the fans, but now this scene doesn't make sense. So, dang. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are you going to say? Like, out of the Avengers who are still on Earth, who would be like, hey, man, so I saw this.
The only way it would make sense is if there's a big reveal that we haven't seen yet. That one of the Avengers is working directly with S.W.O.R.D., who was there.
Mm.
That would be the only way I would be able to hold them justifiably accountable for what they said, you know? Yeah. Because at this point, you're right. They weren't there. You didn't see this. Like, were you guys just in the heavens watching, just hoping and waiting for everything to turn out okay?
Right.
When Tony Stark did his sacrificial snap? Like, what?
The only way they would know would be if Tom Holland did replace Peter Parker, because Tom Holland would definitely tell all. But that's food for thought. Yeah. So I'm sure that there's some theory crafting going around as to how these guys know what happened. But
at this point, there needs to be homies. Please cook up some theories for us. Let us know.
Oh, man. So Wanda comes through the field and she confronts S.W.O.R.D. And
awesome.
Yeah.
And for the first time in the whole show, she's actually not just Wanda Maximoff, Sokovian housewife, but instead she's Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch, the badass Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is very upset because people are ruining her Pleasant View experience.
Don't you mean Westview?
I was just trying to think. I was combining Pleasant View with Westview, you know?
Okay.
You get it.
I see what you're doing. Yep. Okay. I was trying to make a pun, but I didn't realize I was making a pun on your pun. So I see what we're doing here. We're punning it up. Flourish!
No.
Damn it. No. Push the... We're talking about a sitcom, and we can't even get the sitcom laugh track or celebration track.
Yep, got yep. You got.
How
got,
dare you?
Has to be earned properly.
Just you.
Oh shit! But yeah, so Wanda comes through, and she's in her Scarlet Witch garb. By the way, it was interesting earlier how they didn't linger on it, but that Tyler would even mention like to Jimmy Woo, so she didn't have any other names or alias. You know, when it would, I don't know if there's like a callback or Easter egg to mm-hmm. try to get Jimmy to say, oh, she's also the Scarlet Witch, which we haven't called her that yet in the MCU. But no, it was just interesting how like they actually thought to even bring that up or mention it, since it really has no bearing.
Some of that stuff, even like arguably now, the scene, you know, we were just talking about where they were like debating like the actual happenings of the in-game fight, you know, like they watched it like a fucking football game.
Oh man, Thanos is up.
And he misses. Wanda hits him with a ship. It's out of here. There's your announcer voice. But no. So a lot of that stuff just kind of seemed to be more spoon feeding for the fans. Like, like that conversation, like, so that's her name, Wanda. She doesn't have any alias, no quirky nickname, no nothing. Like that seems like a spoon fed conversation, which is nice for the fans, very tongue in cheek, you know. Maybe a good setup later on, like you're talking about, but you know, that alongside, well, she did try to, you know, she was one of the ones to take on Thanos one-on-one. It's like, and now I'm still fucking angry about that. Fucking damn. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying over here, but.
Wanda makes her intentions very clear here, how she doesn't want them to interfere at all. Leave her the hell alone, and she'll leave you alone. Monica steps forward, and then, you know, she tells Wanda that surely on some subconscious level you trust me, you have me help you deliver your twins, like you know that I'm here to help, I'm an ally, and Wanda goes, you know, you can't, I forget what Wanda says, but Monica says like just tell us what you want, and Wanda goes,
you have nothing, yeah, or something like that.
Wanda says, I have what, I think she says, I have what I want.
Oh, I have everything I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, and it's true, like, and, like, I guess a truer version of what she wants, she can never have. Mm-hmm. Like, what she has is as close as it's going to get. You know, a zombified husband, rapidly aging children.
Hey, a revitalized zombified husband. Yeah. Because technically, he exists.
Yeah.
As do the boys.
Which is interesting, yeah.
Which is interesting, you know, yeah. Literally, and now there's the paradox, you know, standing right in front of you. How can frickin' Monica give anything to a reality-bending witch?
Yeah. I mean, you really can't.
No, you can't.
Yeah. But Wanda, after being very intimidating, she makes her presence felt, and then she leaves, and she says, she does make it known that this is also their one and only warning.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, goes to go back.
And as she does, there's a very interesting change, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is nowhere near the end. She walks back through the hexagonal, the hex, mm-hmm. in other words, as Darcy so, you know,
right.
cutely named. It turns red. The whole field from the point of Wanda's re-entry, like, revives, and it all becomes that classic shade of red, which she sports. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So now I wonder if that's like a death feat, a death hexagonal or something now, where it's like they try to send something through and it kaputs. Or now it's like, you cannot come in at all unless you're willing to harm yourself. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I have nothing to support that. Just what ifs. So, yeah.
You may never know.
Well, until next week.
The world may never
know. The creepy crickets and pixies in the haunted house.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Well, that's not... Yeah, creepy pixies. That's basically, you know, the magical bullshit here. You know, being creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Checks out.
It was a long bridge, but we traversed it.
There we go.
There you go.
As long as you make it to the other side. But no, once Wanda goes back over and leaves, you know, Sword completely fucked and terrified, we get another commercial. This one is basically a Bounty commercial, but with Lagos instead. Of course, guys, Lagos is where Wanda dropped the ball, tipping the Civil War, causing it to start. So that's where Crossbones attempted to detonate himself. Wanda stopped it and contained it, but then something happened and she dropped it and caused a bunch of people to die. That was in Lagos where that happened. So
pretty sweet.
Yeah, so there is another connection there. And it's, so far, it seems like all these commercials, at least from what I can gather, are really drawing upon the trauma in her life. I mean, it could be stated that, like, obviously the one with the commercial with the Strucker watch, Baron von Strucker, the man who experimented on her and her brother, surely that was very traumatic.
Right, right. Wasn't that the first one?
I think it was the second one. The first one was the one with the toaster and with the, I think the only color in it was like the bright red light. Yeah. And I imagine that maybe resembled the bomb that went off in her house. I don't know.
That's a fair point, actually.
Yeah.
And then we get the Baron von Strucker reference. And then we get a Hydra reference.
Yeah, then we get Hydra soap. Yes, right.
Hydra soap.
Uh-huh. Which, I mean, enough said. Well, I know
why. Yeah, Hydras are dicks. Come on. Apparently now all Hydras are dicks. And then what was episode 4?
Did episode 4 get a commercial? No, episode 4 was in...
We were more stationed in the real world then. Okay.
And so we come back and we get the fourth commercial, which is Lagos, the quicker picker upper.
So I wonder what the next one's going to be. Something to do with Civil War, maybe?
Maybe.
Because that was newly traumatic. I don't know.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe be called... Brother Bullets. These bullets will stop your brother dead.
That's really on the nose. That's, nope. That's just a bad idea. That's bad marketing. Someone watching the commercial from their couch. Wait, they want me to shoot my brother? What? Not a sponsor. Do not shoot your brother.
These bullets just don't work on your brother. They work on everybody's brother. Brother Bullets.
We need more than a comrade in the field.
Oh, man. So,
I don't like that one.
Yep. Next thing we get here is Sparky's dead. Sparky the dog. He has passed away. He got into the wrong bush. Specifically, he got into some of Agnes's bushes. And whatever the hell she was growing, I forget what kind of flowers she was. Yeah, azalea. Mm-hmm. He dead. And she has wrapped him up, and Wanda and the twins find him. And there's this whole thing about the twins wanting to first age up so they can go past all the trauma.
Right.
Wanda stops them, and then they ask Wanda to...
The dog.
Yeah, undead the dog. Bring him back to life. And they say, we know that you can do it. I do find it fascinating how hypocritical Wanda is here.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a cool point.
Yeah.
She's lying her ass off.
Yeah.
The fake children she created. Ooh-wee.
She's being extremely hypocritical, saying that, you know, we have to face the traumas we go through. And, you know, even though it may hurt, you know, we can't just, you know, like, Wanda, you literally fabricated an entire reality to escape your trauma.
Right. Now, here's the next question.
By bringing people back to life, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's the next question. An important clue which came upon us in this scene as well was Agatha's reaction, where she asked, wait, you can do
you
that?
You can do that?
I think that was genuine. What's your take?
No, me too. I don't think that was a sitcom thing.
Yeah.
Agatha has yet react to any of Wanda's magic.
Right.
She's always played it straight like she's still in the sitcom, but that statement, she definitely reacted to.
If I may be so bold to read into this, like I tend to do, I think Agatha had an idea of what Wanda's capabilities are. You know, as everyone, you know, at that present moment in the TV show's, you know, timeline did. But I think her genuinely learning that is going to change Agatha for the rest of these episodes. I think, and this is me doing writing, this is me putting information into the show, so don't take anything real from it. Take it all with a grain of salt. But if she was to be presented as a potential villain character, I think that is where a motive is going to be born. Where it's like, oh, you have this capability. Agnes may not have this magical power. She needs to get Wanda to raise one of Agnes's significants from the dead.
Ralph, her husband.
No, you know who she needs to raise from the daggum dead? Hazmat Franklin.
Hazmat
Franklin. Hazmat daggum Franklin.
All right, we need Hazmat Franklin back, all right, guys. We can't let this travesty go.
There's your fucking flourish. Flourish. How dare you make me wait?
That's what she said.
Don't flatter yourself.
Right. Like that, I just picked you up. Like, shit.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you see the potential plot my brain is writing, you know? Yeah. Classic villain manipulation saying, oh, hey, maybe you want to do that for me over here?
Yeah.
Do this cool magic shit, you know? Revitalize this person? Resuscitate them?
Yeah. It could be.
We'll see.
I do wonder if they, you know, go the whole antagonistic route with Agatha. It seems like maybe they will.
Yeah. I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. I mean, I know in the comics she was more of like a coach, if anything, for Wanda. She was one who really helped Wanda kind of cultivate and focus her powers in. And
she still could be. There's a lot of content in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows, like maybe her playing along with this whole charade is part of it. Who knows? But Wanda does kill her in the comics. I think it's either right before or during the events of House of M. No, before, I think. Right before the House of M storyline takes place. But when Wanda's already lost her shit, she kills Agatha. But
yeah. Well then. That might have been a spoiler. We'll see.
So the next thing we get here is Vision confronting Wanda. And this is an amazing scene.
This was awesome. Yeah. They always make me wait for this shit. How dare they?
How dare they?
How dare they?
But Vision, he is first very blunt and straightforward with Wanda. He goes... So something along the lines of, I spoke to Norm outside of your control, and this entire scene, again, no laugh track, no funny business.
It was so clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They broke the rules of sitcom so well for their story, in a frame of reference that only they could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the part where it's like, oh, bravo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he tells Wanda, Vision tells Wanda, what you're doing is wrong. You can't control these people, or you shouldn't control these people, and you can't control me like you can control them. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, can't I? And then she begins to roll
and
credits.
And then she ends the episode, and he's like, no, we're not fucking done, okay?
Well, it
was so mentally hard to watch, because your brain is so conditioned to be like, oh, credits, bullshit's happening, no one cares. But there's important stuff happening.
Yes. Would have been awesome if he just completely broken all the walls of storytelling and grabbed one of the names rolling down and threw it against the wall. No, fuck that person.
Or at least like Vision powered it. Like, no, stop. Get rid of that. Also, did you read any of the names? Because I did not.
No, yeah, I did not. No.
Like, I was so distracted by the actual scene that the foreground was lost on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, clever if you guys hit any Easter eggs, Disney Plus. Well done.
The argument gets heated during this time to the point where they begin levitating and glowing, and that always means powers.
Always.
Yeah, always. And this argument is getting so heated that you're wondering, is this shit going to come to blows? Because
I was ready for it.
It was one of those things where it's like, I think that there's definitely some truth here. I think that Wanda isn't being completely dishonest. I think that either because somebody else is also pulling some strings, or because Wanda may genuinely not know, because she's not in her right mind, that she's doing all of this. Hell, maybe it's all of the above.
Yeah.
It's hard to say at this point.
That gambles on the ladder there. Mm-hmm. Especially in Wanda's mind not being right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
But, you know, she comments that Vision had never spoken to her that way. And I'm like, well, Vision has never had a reason to speak to you that way.
Right.
Like, I mean, I get it how that could say a lot that maybe you didn't know about your significant other, but you also have to think, how far have I pushed my significant other to the point where they react this way? Wanda doesn't go to that thought, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda is, she's still, you know, really surprised that Vision took this approach with her. And Vision, he comments something that I didn't know, I didn't even think about, and that is Vision has no recollection of anything before they make it to Westview.
Yep. And that's an important clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has no recollection.
And he has no idea what he is.
It doesn't seem like it.
No, yeah. He has an understanding to a degree that he's not human, that he is more robo than human, but he has no idea what that means. He has no idea, like, literally how and why he is.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think if you would ask him, like, so who created you?
Oh, no idea.
Yeah, that he probably wouldn't come up with that. But yeah, you're right. He does know, like, I guess, in a sense, like, what he is. He comments about that in, like, episode one, I think. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, the inception, yeah, I don't think he has any idea. I mean, hell, he has no idea that he got half his head ripped off by Thanos.
Yeah.
You know, he has no idea that he helped take down...
You know, Thanos freaking pinched a chunk of his forehead and peeled it off. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, yeah. He has no idea. I don't think he has any idea about battling Ultron. He's his creator. I don't think he has any idea about that. So it's gonna be interesting. But
cool.
So they do calm down, and the doorbell rings, and Vision's like, "Oh, so this is what we're doing now." And Wanda replies, "I'm not doing this." Which again, I'm with Vision on this one. Like, I mean, Wanda, I believe that you believe you're not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, especially the big reveal that we do get, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in a second, of course. I think her powers are too much for her to handle. And her mentality is not in a strong enough place to understand that, right, or to ascertain how powerful she really is. So it is easily presumable, knowing those, you know, those facts right there, that her powers could be acting and she's using them without even knowing.
Right.
Yeah. As bizarre as that sounds, this is Wanda fucking Maximoff here, gang, you know. You know what would really make me happy that I know the show won't give, just to kind of like take a sidebar here? I would love it if the show gave me Maximoff. I know they're not, and that would make me just so giddy and so happy, and it would be an amazing episode, but I'm not going to get it. And I'll have it in my dreams, though, just for me.
Yeah,
just for me.
That's what counts.
It would be the Michael Fassbender Magneto, but whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing against Ian at all. I think just Magneto would be awesome to have if the show had, you know, any gusto of doing so.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, Kevin. Tyler Hayward is Magneto.
Shut the fuck up. How dare you? That's scary.
But yeah, the doorbell rings and Wanda goes to answer it. And of course, who is it? None other than Pietro Maximoff. But not Aaron Taylor Johnson, Pietro. Mm-hmm. From Age of Ultron. This is Evan Peters, Pietro.
Hell yeah.
From the X-Men verse.
As Darcy so well put it for everyone before we even had the thought. She recast Pietro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of clever tongue-in-cheek like Don Cheadle in his, overtaking of the role.
That's the thing. I don't know if it's that simple. I would argue
In the storyline of the show, but in the actual, like, recasting of the character, yes, it is that. Because now we got Evan Peters playing Quicksilver again, but MCU style.
Ooh. Yeah. Like, this, for me, is, like, very complex because, like, oh, shit, here's Pietro, which is great to see Evan Peters back in the role. But it's also, like, where did he come from?
Oh, no, like, that's the part where the story in the show is really going to have to sell something for me.
Yeah.
That's going to be the really dope-ass part. But let this also be known that this is the first reference or the first actual on-screen can no longer take back representation of the Marvel properties intersecting.
Yeah.
After Disney buying them all back. Yeah.
And there's one really big difference between Evan Peters' Pietro and Aaron Taylor Johnson's Pietro, besides the fact that one can run faster than bullets.
Get the fuck out of here. Too soon. It wouldn't have been too soon before tonight's episode, but too soon, sir.
But Evan Peters' Pietro is a mutant.
Yep.
That is a pretty stark contrast.
Well, I mean, he was. He's in the show now. And then he's also in Wanda's show. As they put before this, exposition scene in tonight's episode, we also saw that Wanda was created via experimentation. Who's to say that she can't bend the laws of reality in the Pietro that she created? You know? So, Pietro, as we know, was a mutant in the X-Men verse. This is, but at the same time, isn't the same Pietro. By equal standing. You know? You get what I'm saying?
Kind of?
Wanda's Pietro doesn't have to be a mutant just because it's Evan Peters' Pietro.
Oh, okay, so you're saying that Aaron Taylor Johnson doesn't have to be a mutant because Evan Peters is a mutant?
What? No.
What are you saying?
Who the fuck is... What? Who's the first name you said? Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Yeah, that's the guy who played Pietro in Age of Ultron.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
And he's no longer even cast as a role. So, I mean, as far as we're concerned, he's not even on the game board.
Yeah.
But so, Evan Peters...
Who's the second Pietro you're talking about then?
Wanda's Pietro. This Pietro, the one that we have presently, the one that's on screen, yeah.
Okay, so the one that showed up tonight, so the only Pietro that's left.
Correct, yes. Okay. The only Pietro that is canonical to this point. We don't know if this Pietro is a mutant or experimentation creation, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying that there's a chance this Pietro could just be something created by Wanda, and not something that bled through the multiverse.
Bingo.
I think he bled through the multiverse.
There's a chance of that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be Wanda's reality-bending bullshit that's going to define what Pietro is, or even if he is yet, because we might get him and lose him as fast as we got him.
Yeah.
By the end of the episode, all this bullshit might be just ripped apart like Christmas wrapping paper, and Wanda's fucked up mentality is just going to get doubly fucked up. Now, twice the chaos.
Yeah.
So, I guess, we'll see.
Yeah, because they really have to sell me on her creating something that looks just like a Pietro she's never met before.
They would. They would really have to sell that. And at that point, we might have to do like a general understanding in the audience that this is the recasting and the repurposing of X-Men Pietro. This is just him being the only Pietro now. And now, you know, because there's no longer the dividend on the legal standpoint, and now everything's just one property, bingo bango.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, the theorizing is complicating, you know, what actually happened tonight.
Yeah, I mean, what happened tonight is what we got. Quicksilver, Evan Peters Quicksilver showed up on the doorstep.
Correct.
And I mean, God, I hope that, that this is just the beginning of the door being opened for the multiverse, Because if not, it's like,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean.
It would.
Yeah. I also think it just make the most sense. Since we know that this is the direction we're going in. I mean, with Spider-Man 3 and those guys coming in from their own universes. With Doctor Strange 2 and the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
I feel like
it would be the most convenient doorstep.
Yeah.
I just don't know what that means in translation on like the canonical detail page of Pietro Maximoff as we are going to come to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yep. But we will see though. This is exciting. We're gonna see what the hell happens next week with Pietro.
Yeah. And also if his character gets to have the same level of understanding, which I'd be surprised if he didn't, that Vision and Wanda have of Westview and what it really is.
Yeah.
Or if he's just going to be like a more popular NPC that is still living the facade.
Yeah. Now, the lame answer that nobody fucking wants, it's a squirrel. It's not Pietro.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, that'd be fucking terrible.
Yeah. I would hope that they wouldn't complicate their show like that, their plot. Luckily, that's not very feasible. Well, the scrolls are never feasible, but you get what I'm saying. That wouldn't sell well.
Yeah, no. That's one of those times where you subvert expectations in a bad way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, we have no idea what we are to see next.
It's kind of funny. We've almost come full circle, so allow me to finish drawing the rest of the circle there. Just like you said prior, at the very tip top of this episode, this whole mystery vibe that this show plays with in its genre constantly is being well done because they answer one question, which only gives birth to more questions. And we never get the full mystery solved at the end of an episode. We always get more confusion and more WTF moments.
Yep.
Yeah. Like this one.
Exactly like this one. Yeah. It's one of those cases where, like, you really wish that, like, they wouldn't have put his casting up online.
Yeah. Because did we talk about that already? We did talk about that on air.
Oh, well, that's no, we didn't.
No. So that was one of the things we saw previously in a past shorty episode where Q and I were looking up stuff online. It's like, oh, shit, you see this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was unfortunately a giveaway for us. We didn't expect it tonight, of course, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see what else this show has. What else is to be had?
Ooh-wee. You got anything else for this one?
I think we got plenty, brother. I think we're all good. Yeah, I'm curious to see where this all leads up, you know? And homies, thank you guys for listening, same as always. You know, hopefully you got a chance to watch the episode yourself. If not, hopefully you're not too mad that we spoiled the whole thing for you. Ooh-wee.
You spoiled it for yourself if you chose to listen.
At this point, you stayed in for like, what is this, hour 13? Yeah, 13 so far, so yeah. But we love you nevertheless, so come on back, listen again, we'll have a great time.
Absolutely. But that is all for now. Thank you guys again for checking in with us. If you guys haven't checked out our Patreon page, be sure to do so. We do have a lot more material coming towards that, so we can promise that would be worth your time and your hard-earned money. For $3 a month, you guys can get all of our sweet, sweet bonus material. That's at patreon.com/superherohomies. But also, if you guys have any kind of questions, comments, scare, stretch, food supplies, you know where to hit us up at. Hit us up at our email address, superherohomies@gmail.com, or any of our social media outlets. Mm-hmm. But that's all we have for now. We will see you guys in a few days here. But until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I'm Superhero Homie Kevin.